Title, Signature Jungle Texture Rack Creation Intermediate. Alright, let's build something you can drop into basically any jungle or rolling DNB project and instantly get that moving grit behind the drums vibe. Not the kind of texture that sounds like you accidentally left a noise sample playing, but the kind that makes the drums feel like they came off a record, got resampled twice, and lived in a room for 20 years. This is an intermediate Ableton Live sound design lesson, and the goal is a signature jungle texture rack. It'll be playable, automatable, and built mostly with stock devices. By the end, you'll have a rack with four chains, a vinyl or noise bay, a ghost break air layer, a room and resonance layer, and a motion plus glue layer. Then we'll map macros so you can perform and arrange with it, instead of endlessly tweaking. Before we start, set the scene so the rack makes sense in context. Put your tempo somewhere, in that classic pocket, like 165 to 174 BPM. Have a break loop playing, amen, think, or any modern chopped break, and have a basic sub or reese running. Your texture should support the groove, not compete with it. If you're ever unsure, mute the texture. The drums should still be the star. Step 1. Create the rack shell. Make a new audio track and name it Texture Rack. Drop an audio effect rack on it. Open the chain list and create four chains. Name them a vinyl, B break air, C room slash rezo, and D motion slash glue. Now decide how you want to feed the rack. The easiest, most controllable way is, set this texture rack track to take audio from your drum bus or your drum group. That way it reacts to what your drums are doing, and it feels printed with the groove. Alternatively, you can do this as a return track and send drums or bass into it. Either works. For now, the drum group input is the most straightforward. Quick coach note before we dive into devices. Gain staging inside racks is the difference between this is a signature sound and why is this messy and unpredictable. After you build each chain, we're going to make sure each chain hits roughly similar loudness when soloed. That way, when you map the big texture amount macro, it behaves like an instrument instead of a gamble. Chain A. Vinyl or noise bid. This is your constant jungle dust. First, choose your noise source. The most authentic approach is a short vinyl noise loop or cassette hiss recording. Drop it on the texture rack track in a clip slot. Loop it, and let it run. Even if you end up routing drums into the rack, having a noise clip available is great because you can resample a print later. On chain of vinyl, at EQ 8 first. High pass it pretty hard, something like 24 dB per octave around 180 to 300 HE. We are not donating low end to the noise gods. If you want more air, do a gentle high shelf around 8 to 12 KHE, like plus 1 to plus 3 dB, but keep it tasteful. Next, add auto filter. Set it to band pass mode. Put the frequency somewhere in the 2.5 to 6 KHC region, and set resonance around 0.6 to 0.85. Keep envelope at 0. Turn on the LFO. Set the LFO amount around 10 to 25%. Rate really slow, around 0.10 to 0.30 Hz. And set phase to 180 degrees so it doesn't feel like a static whistle. What this does is create that subtle shifting air band that feels like movement, not an obvious filter sweep. Then add saturator. Turn on soft clip. Drive around 2 to 6 dB. And match the output so you're not tricking yourself with loudness. Then add utility and widen it a bit, like 120 to 160%. Keep the gain down. The goal is, you should miss it when it's muted, but you shouldn't notice it as its own foreground element. And here's the first teacher check. Turn chain on and off while the full drums play. If you hear noise, it's too loud. If you feel the groove get slightly more alive when it's on, you're in the pocket. Chain B. Break air, also known as the ghost break. This is the jungle haze. This chain is break-derived texture, but band-limited and controlled. Old wreckers often got this by resampling and compressing the living daylights out of breaks, plus bandwidth limitation from samplers and tape. On chain B break air, start with EQ8. High pass it higher than you think. Try 24 dB per octave somewhere between 350 and 700 HE. You're aiming to stay out of the kick and the body of the snare. If it's biting, do a small dip, like minus 2 to minus 5 dB, around 3 to 5 kHz. Add a compressor next. Ratio 4 to 1. Attack 10 to 30 milliseconds so some transient shape survives. Release 80 to 180 milliseconds or auto if it feels smoother. Aim for about 4 to 8 dB of gain reduction. You're making it steady, like a consistent mist behind the drums. Then drop in drum bus. This is a secret weapon for this kind of layer. Drive around 5 to 15%. Crunch around 10 to 25%. Usually keep boom off. Transients can go slightly negative if you want it smeared and printed, or slightly positive if it needs a little definition. Keep checking in the full mix. This layer should not create a second drum kit. After that, add auto filter in high pass mode. Set cutoff around 500 Hz to 1.2 kHz, and add slow LFO movement, like 5 to 15% amount, at 0.06 to 0.20 Hz. This makes the air layer subtly breathe over time. Coach note on bandwidth lengths, because this is where people get cloudy mixes. Think of chain B living mostly in the 700 Hz to 6 kHz lane, and actively avoiding the 200 to 500 Hz buildup zone. If the whole drum bus suddenly feels cardboard Y or nasal, it's usually too much low mid in this chain. High pass harder and lower its level. Chain C, room and resonance layer. This gives you small room bite and that metallic sampled vibe. On chain C room slash rezo, add hybrid reverb. Set it to room or chamber. Decay around 0.4 to 1.2 seconds, short and controlled. Pre-delay 5 to 20 milliseconds. Size small to medium. Filter it. High cut around 4 to 7 kHz, low cut around 200 to 500 Hz. Dry slash wet around 15 to 30%, but remember this chain should stay quiet. It's not reverb on drums. It's a physical space shadow. Now add corpus. This is the character piece. Set it to 2 or plate. Tune somewhere around 120 to 220 Hz to start, maybe around 180 Hz as a default. Decay 0.2 to 0.8 seconds. Dry slash wet 5 to 20%. You're listening for a subtle boxy metallic tail, not an obvious resonator note. Then add a gentle saturator or overdrive, like 1 to 4 dB drive. After that, EQ 8 again. Tweep for any nasty ringing and notch it, maybe minus 3 to minus 8 dB if something whistles. And high pass at 200 to 400 Hz to keep the mix clean. Optional but powerful, tune the resonance to your track key. If your track is in F sharp, for example, you might try resonances around 92 Hz for F hash 2 or 139 Hz for C hash 3. Keep it quiet. This is cohesion, not melody. Chain D. Stereo motion and glue. Movement without losing punch. Add chorus ensemble. Set it to chorus mode. Rate around 0.15 to 0.40 Hz. Amount 10 to 25%. Width 120 to 200%. Mix 10 to 25%. This is slow drift. Then add redux. Go easy. Bits around 10 to 14. Start at 12. Downsample around 1.5 to 4. Dry slash wet 5 to 15%. This is where you get classic grit, but also where you can accidentally create fizzy harshness. If the top end starts sounding like angry soda, back it off. Then add glue compressor. Attack 3 to 10 milliseconds, release auto ratio 2 to 1. Turn on soft clip, aim for just 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction. This is knitting, not smashing. If chain D makes the drums feel smaller, the usual culprits are too much redux and too much stereo modulation. Reduce redux wet, reduce chorus mix, or narrow the width. Now, the rack master stage, outside the chains, on the rack output, at EQ 8, high pass around 30 to 60 Hz to keep the sub region clean. If you need tone shaping, make tiny moves, like a gentle tilt, but don't over-EQ the whole texture. Each chain already has its lane. Add a limiter after that, sealing at minus 1 dB. You only want it catching occasional peaks, 1 to 2 dB at most. This is just safety. Now let's do the thing that turns this from a stack of devices into a signature instrument, macro mapping. Create 8 macros. Macro 1 is texture amount. Map it to each chain volume. And this is important. Set safe ranges so it never overwhelms. For example, you might cap chain A around minus 18 dB max, chain B around minus 16 dB, chain C around minus 20 dB, and chain D around minus 18 dB. The exact numbers will vary, but the principle is, the macro's maximum position should still sound usable in a real mix. Before you finalize those ranges, do the gain staging trick. Solo each chain one at a time. Add a utility at the end of each chain if you need it, and trim so each chain feels roughly similar loudness post-processing. Not equal meters, just similar perceived level. Now the texture amount macro will feel smooth and predictable. Macro 2 is air or dust. Map it to chain A's auto filter cutoff and maybe that EQ shelf. This becomes your more dusty, more bright, more alive control. Macro 3 is ghost break presence. Map it to chain B's EQ high pass cutoff, something like 350 up to 900 Hz. Higher cutoff usually means thinner, more air-only presence. Lower cutoff brings more body, which can get muddy. So set it carefully. Macro 4 is room size. Map hybrid reverb decay from 0.4 to 1.2 seconds, and dry slash wet from about 10 to 30%. Macro 5 is resonance. Map corpus dry slash wet from 0 to 20%, and if you want, map tune with a small safe range so it doesn't jump into weird pitches. Macro 6 is movement. Map chorus amount from 10 to 30% and rate from 0.15 to 0.45 Hz. Macro 7 is grit. Map saturator drive, maybe 1 to 6 dB, and redux dry slash wet from 0 to 15%. Macro 8 is mono safe. Put a utility at the very end of the rack, after everything, and map width from something like 140% down to 90%. This way, when you need the mix to translate, you can pull it in. Macro mapping tip that'll save you headaches: set safe ranges while each chain is soloed. Turn the chain on, solo it, move the macro min and max until both extremes still sound usable. Then turn all chains back on and fine-tune how they interact. This prevents accidental festival mode texture when you draw automation later. Now I'll do a quick mono compatibility check. Temporarily drop a utility on the master channel and set width to 0%, just for a moment while you listen. If the texture disappears entirely in mono, you're relying too much on phase Y modulation. Fix it by narrowing chain D, lowering chorus mix, or adding a mono anchor. Optional advanced variation at a mono anchor chain. This is chain E if you want it. Create a new chain called mono anchor. Put a Q8 with a high pass around 500 to 900 Hz and a low pass around 4 to 7 kHz. Add mild saturator, 1 to 3 dB. Then utility with width at 0 to 30%. Map it to texture amount, but keep the maximum very low. This tiny chain can make the whole rack feel consistent on small speakers and in mono without making the texture louder. Alright, now let's make it musical with arrangement thinking. Textures shine when they change with sections, not when they sit at one static level for 3 minutes. For an intro, you can run higher texture amount, more vinyl and room, but less ghost break, so you're teasing the groove. On the drop, pull the vinyl down a bit. Keep ghost break tucked, tighten the room. For a mid-16 variation, push movement and grit for 4 bars, then bring it back. In a breakdown, increase room size and air, maybe automate a slow filter sweep so the texture comes into focus. And for the final drop, a tiny bit more ghost break presence can give lift without adding new drums. Here's a really effective upgrade move. Instead of raising the texture volume in the intro, automate bandwidth. Put a gentle low pass or tilt on the rack output and gradually open the top end over 8 or 16 bars. This audio version is shortened for playback.